Do you believe that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you believe that today could perhaps be the day when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise, and we who are alive and remain are caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air? Do you believe that could happen today, even yet, with the few hours that are left? Is it certain? Maybe tomorrow. Maybe the next day. We don't know for certain. Do we know for certain it will happen?
Yes.
And that's why the question mark and the exclamation point is there. We don't know when, but we do know for certain that it's going to happen. Do you think everyone believes that it's going to happen?
No.
Not a chance. Yeah, even Christians. I was doing a little research this afternoon. A man by the name of Justin Taylor writes on the Gospel Coalition webpage. You saw that. 9 reasons we can be confident Christians won't be raptured before the tribulation. Now, in his defense, what he does is he takes the second advent and the rapture, puts them together as one event. He's not saying that the rapture won't happen. He's saying it won't happen before the tribulation. So it's not perhaps today. It's definitely not today. It's definitely not tomorrow. It's definitely not for the next 7 years. But sooner or later, God will get around to it. But you ask an unsaved person, do you believe the rapture will take place? And probably 99% of them will say, huh? What's that? No. Before we get into our study in Ezekiel chapter 12, I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter 3. It's going to give us a little bit of an introduction. And I'm just going to outline it for you real quickly. 2 Peter chapter 3, just read along with me. Start with the first 4 verses. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. What we see here is this. There has been, are, and always will be people who will contradict God's declarations. Peter wrote this nearly 2,000 years ago, and he's describing today. Next couple of verses, verses 5 and 7. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men, to distrust the declarations of God concerning either the present or the future requires you to ignore the previous actions of God. Is there any reason to believe God today and what he has said about tomorrow? Look at history. I think you brought that up in Sunday school this morning, didn't you? Look at history. How did God act before? If he did it before, he certainly can do it again. Verses 8 through 10. Turn too quickly. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night. in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. God fulfills his word whenever he chooses to do so. Not according to our time determinations. Time with God is of no consequence. He lives in eternity. We talk about God before the creation in eternity past. Well, he never moved out of eternity past. Eternity doesn't have an end to it. He's still in it today. Now, we're controlled by time. God isn't. God knows when he's going to do something, but it's up to him. Not our declarations. Verses 11 through 16. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found in him, of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Trust in the fulfillment of God's word is the only profitable action for man. If you try to take it apart and say it doesn't exist, they wrestle to their own destruction. But here's the final two verses, and this is really what I'm leading up to for tonight. Verses 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Trust in the word of God always evidences itself in obedience. That's all there is to it. If we say that we really believe something, such as the trumpet could sound tonight, well then, the evidence of that is how we live our lives. Trust in the word of God evidences itself in obedience. Now, we're ready for Ezekiel chapter 12.
Pastor,
yes, sir.
Remember you were talking about Queen Elizabeth was born today? Died.
Yes.
On King James, how was she related?
Don't know.
Wasn't he the next?
She didn't have children.
Yeah,
so.
I just wonder how he became king. You know what I mean? Who knows?
I didn't bother to look that up. I'm going to break Ezekiel chapter 12 down into four different compartments. Let's look at the first seven verses. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see, and see not. They have ears to hear, and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Interesting, the one book I read not too long ago called We Become What We Worship speaks of this passage, and the idols that they were worshiping had eyes, but the idols couldn't see. They had ears, but they couldn't hear. And the people, spiritually speaking, had the same. They couldn't see what God was doing. They couldn't hear what God was saying. They became what they worshiped. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, and remove by day in their sight. And thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight, It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. Then thou shalt bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight, as stuff for removing, and thou shalt go forth at evening in their sight, as they that go forth into captivity. Dig thou through the wall in their sight, and carry out thereby. In their sight shalt thou bear it upon thy shoulders. Carry it forth in the twilight. Thou shalt cover thy face. Thou shalt not see the ground, for I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. And I did so as I was commanded. Obedience evidences trust. I brought forth my stuff by day as stuff for captivity, and in the evening I dig through the wall with my hand. I brought it forth in the twilight, and I bear it upon my shoulder in their sight. Now, Ezekiel's given a command to give Israel an object lesson. He's supposed to take some necessities, some overnight accommodations, if you will, a change of clothes, some food, and that type of thing. Put it in basically a backpack. Store it somewhere outside of this house. The idea of this is someone's going to come along in a private way, a sneaky fashion, making preparations to escape. And what is to be typifying is the leaders of Jerusalem, of Israel, that are left before the Babylonians come. They're going to try to escape. They're making plans for their escape. I want you to take that stuff, take it outside, and hide it. I want you then to come back, and I want you to dig a hole in the wall of your house. It typifies what the Babylonians are going to do in the wall of the city. They're going to invade. But at evening time, I want you to go in. I want you to come out through that hole with your stuff as if you're trying to leave. You're supposed to cover your head so that you can't see and you're looking at the ground. That's an object lesson that I want you to give to the people. They're a rebellious house, according to verse 2. But just maybe, verse 3, they might give a consideration and scratch their heads and saying, what in the world is this guy doing? Has he gone mad? We come to verses 8 through 16, and we get an explanation of why he's supposed to do this. And in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, what doest thou? Say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God, this burden concerns the prince in Jerusalem, and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign. Like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity, and the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight, and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face, and the covering there is a covering of humility, a covering of secrecy. They don't want anyone to find out who he is, that he see not the ground with his eyes. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken into my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. And I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him, and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen, whither they come, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Here's what your leader, King Zedekiah, is going to do one day. The Babylonians are coming and they're attacking. He's going to try and sneak out through the walls and escape. He'll do so in a secretive manner, not wanting to be recognized by the enemy. And he'll have a bunch of guys with him. But the Lord says, I've got my net all ready for them. They're just going to fall into it. I will take them captive. Not only that, it says here in verse 13, he'll be taken back to the land of the Chaldeans, to Babylon, but he'll never see it. Just as he's disguised himself that he can't look out that bag that's over his head, that'll be the end of his vision. So here I'm living before you as an example, as a sign. You're going to see my obedience to the Word of God lived out in my everyday life, and I'm going to tell you what it means. Okay? Verses 17 through 20. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness. Say unto the people of the land, Thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Once again, he has an object lesson. I want you to eat bread and water. Sounds delicious. Well, what's bread and water? It's just the bare necessities. And oftentimes it's the meal of a prisoner, as Jerusalem is going to be. And I want you to eat it shaking in your boots, because the enemy's coming. There's going to be famine in the city. You won't have much to eat. And a lot of the people are going to die, and a lot of the people will be taken away, and the city will be destroyed. Explanation. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is it? What is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision fails? Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, The vision that he seeth is for many days to come. It's way out in the future. And he prophesies of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. Israel was saying, Oh, this guy has said so many things and they haven't come to pass. These will never come to pass. That was the first one. The second one is, it'll probably come to pass, but it's so far out there it doesn't bother with us. So therefore, let's just live life, because you only go around once. Eat, sleep, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Everything's good right now. Well, Ezekiel, eat your food and drink your water, shaking in your boots, because the time is at hand. You're going to live that before the people. You're going to live with the immediate expectation that the Lord is coming. And when they say to you, no, it's way off in the future, you tell them, nope, could be today. God's word, lived by example and declared, spoken by explanation and declared, and proven in history. Turn in your Bibles back to 2 Kings chapter 25. Verse 1. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, this is Zedekiah's reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came. He and all his host against Jerusalem, and pitched against it. And they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. They had been surrounded. There's no getting out unless you try and sneak out through the walls. All the city was broken up. Well, that's the Babylonians coming in. And all the men of war fled by night. Well, that's what Ezekiel said. By the way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about. And the king went the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. And all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king, brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and gave judgment upon him. He thought he could get away disguised. But guess what? They found him. They took him up to Riblah. And what happened? And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah. The last thing that he saw was his sons being killed. And took him, bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. And guess what happened there? He died in the years to come. Exactly like God had prophesied through Ezekiel. Have we ever had a time in the past where God communicated through a person that judgment was coming, and which all the people said, you got to be kidding? No. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, Noah's day. There you go. Noah, what do you do? God told me to build a boat. I'm building a boat. What are you, nuts? Nope, just obedient. Why are you building a boat? It's going to rain. What's that? Water's going to come out of the sky and up through the ground, and the entire earth is going to be flooded, and everything is going to die. When's that going to happen? I don't know. Perhaps today. But the boat's not done yet. And the boat was finished. Well, Noah, you kept saying that this flood was coming. You got your boat now. Where's the water? Well, it didn't come today, perhaps tomorrow. And all of a sudden you see these animals getting on the boat. Guess what happened? The rains came. And the people died. Noah did his job. He was a preacher of righteousness. He believed God's word. He lived in obedience. Brought salvation to his house. And commendation from God. The rapture's coming.
Amen.
Perhaps today, perhaps tomorrow. Are we living in obedience? Knowing that it is coming. We cannot change by ourselves how the world will respond. The old saying, you can lead a horse to water. Mm-hmm. You can't make them drink. But God can sure put it in their hearts, even if they are rebellious people. But we need to be obedient today. Yes, it could be a millennium away. I doubt it, but I know this for certain, it's coming. Seeing that you know all these things, what manner of people ought we to be? Let's pray. Father, if Paul the Apostle said time is short, it's even a whole lot shorter now. May our witness to the world around us be so complete that they will say to us, like they more than likely did in Noah's day, definitely did in Ezekiel's day, what are you doing? Why do you live in such a manner that we may have an open door of opportunity to say, judgment is coming, but Jesus loves even you. And here's how he has proved it. In this day that we call Good Friday and Easter. And may our witness be that which reaches the heart of people for their good and salvation and your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.